Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will.
Hallelujah. Yes, a change gon' come. A change that we can look forward to. A hope for the future, because God says he's given us a hope for the future. That is his plan. Yes, a change is going to come. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God. Let us go right into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. That yes, Lord, a change is going to come, Father God. A glorious change, Father God, when Jesus returns, and we can just celebrate with you. But until that change comes, Father God, we embrace the changes, Father God, of renewing our mind, Father God, that it lines up with your word, that it celebrates your word, that it shares your word, Father God, and it glorifies your word. Yes, a change is going to come. Father God, that change will help us, Father God, to be a new creature in Christ, Father God, creating us a clean spirit and renewing the right spirit in us, Father God, clean heart and renewing the right spirit in us, Father God. Thank you, Father God, a change is going to come. Yes, Father God, for all those under the sound of my voice, Father God, I thank you that a positive, faith-filled change is going to come in their life, Father God. Healing is going to be in their life, Father God. Love is going to be in their life, Father God. Mercy and grace that you give, Father God, will be in their life, Father God. The windows of heaven blessed will call blessings upon them, Father God. They wouldn't have room enough to contain it, Father God. Yes, a change is going to come. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father God. We see a change in the world, Father God, that people will wake up and recognize, Father God, love is not in leader. Love, Father God, is what the people need from you, for you are love, Father God. When they seek you first, your kingdom and all its righteousness, Father God, all the blessings that you give through your love, Father God, will come to pass in their lives. Yes, a change is going to come. I thank you, Father God, as I deliver the word, let me decrease and the Holy Spirit arise big up in me, Father God, that it may give us, Father God, what we need to edify, Father God, to illuminate your scriptures, Father God, and in the name of Jesus, comfort us so that we know, Father God, that positive change is going to come because we have faith in you, Father. We have faith in you, Father. We have faith in you, Father God, full assurance in the heavens, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited because this is another day that God has made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. Today's quote is, it's not how much scriptures you know, it's how much the scriptures you live. And the world needs dreamers, and the world needs doers. But above all, the world needs dreamers who do. And knowledge comes by taking things apart, but wisdom comes by putting things together. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us that in John 13:17, if ye know these things, happy are you if you do them. And Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in the word or deed, do all them in the name of Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God and the Father by him. Hallelujah. Well, today I'm reminded of a beautiful story about a young man who exercised faith. He was a doer and not just a hearer only. In 1958, a gentleman by the name of Kiha, a poor boy from Africa's tribal village, had a dream. More than anything else, he wanted to get a college education like his hero, Abraham Lincoln. The 16-year-old boy said goodbye to his parents and his village and left to pursue his dream. With only a blanket, a small axe, two books, a little food, Kiha began walking towards America. Kiha's journey was become a remarkable picture of faith. And from his story, we can observe a few universal truths about faith and being a doer and not just a hearer or a talker only. Hallelujah. You being a doer of faith being when a person chooses an object in which he trusts. For Kenya, he fixed his hope on a college education. Kenya tale perfectly illustrates the next facet of faith, action without assurance. Kenya began his journey without knowing if he would succeed. Kind of mind you, Abraham. In fact, he barely had enough resources to make it through 1 week. He literally stepped out in faith towards an unknown ending. Faith required bold action in the face of uncertainty. It is not something you feel. It is something you do. Essentially, faith is the hope in motion. See, Kia showed this. He showed incredible trust and bold action, but his journey towards his education was just beginning. With over the next 3,000 miles, he faced many obstacles. He constantly entered villages and heard strange languages. Sometimes Kia found work and shelter, and sometimes he searched for berries and slept outside. He survived just barely and ended up with grave illness, where the municipal herbs provided by strangers helped him out. Kia became physically weak and sometimes emotionally discouraged, which many of us would be if you had to just walk 3,000 miles. Some people can't even do 5. But this young man pressed on. Plainly aware how much further he needed to travel, he turned to his books for encouragement. The Bible and the book about Abraham provided the inspiration he needed to continue. Kenyatta regained his health and recommitted to his journey. Kind of my Harriet Tubman doing the same thing, pursuing that journey and following that dream. The difference of Kia's journey are evidence that faith will be tested. In fact, faith can be lost entirely to fear and unbelief. Obstacles, time, resistance can cause a person to feel depleted, discouraged, and woe down. In the face of overwhelming trouble, Kia stood steadfast, not wavering because he had hoped that his incredible reward awaited after he recommitted to his journey. Not long after, he spotted a photograph of a college set in the mountainous regions. The mountain behind the school reminded him Kia of his village. He decided to set his hope on that school called Skekit Village College in Mount Vernon, Washington. After many months, Kia finally reached Cairo, from where he could fly to America. Three obstacles remained: his college admission, his passport, passport and his airfare. Keyao was undeterred. He spent his last coin on a pair of shoes so he would not enter college barefoot. Then three amazing things happened. First, the school had heard about Keyao's journey from his African village and granted him admission as well as a scholarship and a job. Next, Keyao wrote to a missionary in his village for help for his passport. With their assistance, the government approved his passport. Finally, the student and the citizens of the village school pooled their money in the support of Keyao when they mailed a full amount for his airfare. Keyao dropped to his knees in exhaustion and gratitude and gave God praise. All the pieces have fallen into place. 2 years after his journey began, his dream became a reality. In 1960, Keyao entered the school that he so wanted to go to. Keyao suddenly reaped the rewards of his faithfulness to his goal. In fact, his dedication continued to pay off. He would become a respected author and a political science professor at the University of Cambridge. James says in 1:12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, the moral of the story is faith without works is dead. However, one must be not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. And this is what Keyao's story is all about. He heard the word, he trusts the word, he didn't forget the word, and all the benefits by him taking action came into pass when he exercised the word. So my show for today is putting our faith into action. Putting our faith into action can be a challenge as we're going. It's like going to the gym for the first time. I know this to be true for all the people I train as a master fitness trainer in the Army. I found many people talk a great deal about the action they were going to take to get into shape, but many times their words were more powerful than the desire to take action. In the book of James, where it speaks about taking action and not just being a hearer, comes clear when he tells us the story in James 19:25. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks in the face, with their face in the mirror, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but do it, they will be blessed in what they do. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of meat here for those who want to grow strong in their walk with the Lord. In order to move towards the higher calling, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And in Hebrews 5:12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need the milk, not solid food. And then in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal for the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What is the word of God saying to us? Well, let's go back to James 1:22 a minute and tie it all in. Do not merely listen to the word, you deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and do not do what it says, someone is like looking his face in the mirror. After looking at himself, he goes away and he forgets. And see, this is not what we want to do. James is trying to illustrate some key points in regard to taking action, and not just in order for us not to just to hear God's word, but to execute it. He points that we shouldn't have merely listened to God's word, but take action and do what it says. Because when we are hearers only, we are truly not deceiving anyone else or God. We're only deceiving ourselves. What does this mean? James says we are like someone who looks at himself in a reflection in the mirror. After looking at ourselves, turn and walk away immediately and forget it. I emphasize this again because this is significant, because many times we miss the word because we don't take the word in. I don't believe James is talking about us having poor memory. I believe he's talking about we having poor priorities. In other words, the word isn't rooted in your heart. It, as Solomon said in Proverbs 4:20-22, we are supposed to incline God's word to our ears and not let them depart from our eyes in order to keep them in the midst of our heart. This is the classic for me when I miss church sometimes and I go there and talk to my spirit brother and sister and say, hey, what was the word about? And you get this response. Oh, the word was good. Man, the pastor was preaching to me today. I know the word was for me. I'm going to use that scripture. When I ask him, what was the scripture? Oh, I got them in my notes. I'll get back to you when I get home and send them to you. 2 days pass, and I give my spiritual brother a call. Hey, brother, hope all is well. I was wondering. I know you're a busy man, and I wish I could just get with you, but right now I wanted to see if you could still send me those notes from the Sunday service. And he'd go, oh, man, you know what? I must have misplaced them. But I'll see if I can get my girl to get them for you, and I'll get back with you. Now, you know, I smile to myself because first I already know the brother don't take notes. He'd be nodding most of the time, and most of the time he'd be preoccupied with Sister So-and-so and telling me in the service how fine she is. That's that whole saying where he comes back and says, man, that's what little Carl Cotton's talking about. She's a bad mamma jamma. Not focused. Priorities off. When you don't make God's word your priority in your heart, but only in your head, where it becomes those where you just glance at it, glancing at your reflection in the mirror, and you step away, it don't settle in your heart. You forget it. You don't remember it. This friend bears a reflection of where we are in our walk with the Lord and how far we have gotten in our spiritual maturity and how much we forgot. Moses warns the Israelites. He said, after they got into the land, and this is out of Deuteronomy 6:12, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. Well, if you don't take action, it's hard to retain what you have learned. You should be taking action. Like if you're in church, you should be taking notes. Whether it's on your computer or as old school pen and paper, we should be taking notes because it says research tells us that any conversation after the conversation over, we forget about 50% what was heard. Then within that same day, 8 hours had passed, it's down to 20% retention, and you can imagine what it looks like after 24 hours. We probably won't even forget it, especially when you get seasoned like myself. In fact, Paul puts it like this. He says in 1 Corinthians 3:2, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Not ready. That means that we did not do our due diligence. We didn't take the word that should have been right in our ears. He tells us to incline it to our ear and keep it in the front of our eyes and put it in the midst of our heart. But this is not what we do. See, this is really relevant because when you look at our early walk, we can expect this kind of outcome. But as we mature from the milk, we should now be able to retain what we learn, as Paul puts it to us, that now that we are born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-quoting, we should not be the people that have to revert back to the level as a child and forget. It's just like when a newborn comes along, they love their mother, but if their mother walks away, they forget. But this is expected because they're a child. Yet, therefore, we are still not ready to take appropriate actions to teach or even to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ for what we have learned. Therefore, it requires us to be taught the elementary teachings of God's word all over again. All over again. Because we didn't get it rooted in our heart. We didn't take the action to ensure that we get it rooted in our heart. Here's what we need, the milk again, because we can't handle the solid food which God provides for our spiritual maturity. And that we can press on to it, we can press on towards the mark of the higher calling in Jesus Christ. Thus brings the question, if you've got who you are representing, how can you take truly appropriate action? Who are you representing? You're representing Christ. He said we were created in his image. But yet we walk away like we forgot. We walk away like we forgot. They're talking about lack of skill that you should have developed. Let's look at this a minute. Now, you know, I call my show The Spirit of a Soldier because I left the army of a man to continue my true military calling in God's army. However, imagine this. I've been in the military 37 years, and one day I'm called to go to war. I've been training for this moment, but when the day of reckoning comes, I don't remember how to fire my weapon. I don't know how to throw a grenade. I can't drive the Humvee. I don't even know how to put on my armor. Now, like that man who forgot his reflection, I'm a poor representation of my military leadership. The whole reason we're learning God's word is not so that we can build our treasures up in here on earth. It's for us to prepare to build our treasures up in heaven. However, while we walk the earth, we suppose the spiritually mature become disciples who can execute discipleships to become leaders to prepare others as Jesus did with his 12 disciples. So it's essential that we take the time and slow down to be able to grasp God's word, because God's word is important to us. It's not something that we take it for granted, which many times we do. We get so busy and I hustle and bustle and we put a lot of action to everything else, but not building the foundation we need to become what God intended for us to be, which is to be doers of his word. To be able to go into the world and preach the good news, to be able to go into the world and heal the sick, to be able to go into the world and help the poor, to be able to go into the world and help those who are oppressed, to be able to go into the world and set the captives free, and be able to go into the world and take the blinders off the blind so they can see the truth that would set them free. It requires for us to be on a mission like Paul, to go out no matter what the call is that God tells you to do and go forward. But if you have not that word in you because you don't let it get rooted in your heart, how can you be a person that can be effective in God's army? How can you have the spirit of a soldier when you didn't even entertain the requirements of being a soldier? See, it's important, people. Getting this word is not for us to get spiritually fat and sit on our loins. Getting this word is not for us to say, well, I'm saved and I'm good. No, 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 it's not about us. See, love tells us that it's not self-seeking. See, it's not self-seeking. It rejoices in the right and not in the wrong. So it's not right for us to just harbor our own benefits of God's word and then turn around and not share it with somebody else. There was a song last week that was played, say, go and tell somebody. That is what we got to do. See, my family, the reason we don't just want to be here is only because our primary objective is to execute our mission as soldiers for Jesus Christ. To go out there and fight the good fight of faith. That's why he gives us the armor, because he wants us to be prepared. Because, oh, you're going to have a fight. Satan is not going to go down easily. You're going to have a fight. You're going to have a challenge. Just like that young man who wanted to go to college, see, all the obstacles that could come up his way produced itself, or if you will, manifested itself. And yet he was not deterred. So here's a few points you might want to consider when you think about weighing yourself down and just being spiritually fat, or weighing yourself down and not getting the word in your heart. One, being a doer requires action. Once you heard the word, you must take some kind of action. The word tells us that we need the faith the size of a mustard seed to move mountains. Moving mountains requires action. So when the mountain is in your way, you have to take action like Jesus did when he stated in his word, it is written. You have to verbally say, it is written. And then in Mark 11:22, it tells us Jesus said, have faith in God. That whoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, do not doubt in his heart. When he pray, believe that he shall receive. You see, there are three actions that are required. One, physically, you got to speak out. And the other is not doubting in your spirit. And last is believing in your heart. However, the question is, how can we speak and not have doubt or belief if we do not remember God's word? Now, I'm not saying we have to be able to quote scripture to scripture. I got a friend that could tell you any book. He can tell you what chapter, what paragraph, and what sentence it is. It's just amazing. He in his 70s. This blows me away. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting it deep rooted in your heart, that when the time comes for you to speak, the Holy Spirit will bring up to your remembrance what you need to say. what you need to do in any given situation. It'll remind you to go left or go right. He will remind you that that's not the way you want to go. He will remind you that he did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. He will remind that greater is he that's in you that's in the world. He will remind you that you can be blessed coming in and blessed going out. He will remind you that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But if you don't have the word in you, how can it come out of you? See, again, it's a sad thing for someone to walk in, look in the mirror, and walk away and forget what they're reflecting. Well, that reflection is when people look at us, they should see the image of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Then next, we must be doers in order to doers in being able to trust God. Next, we want to look at the spoken word of God. It says, trust in the Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. Have faith and do not doubt. So you see, the story we talked about with the young man, Kira, trusted in God. I believe personally that he had studied God's word, remembered his promises along the way, the ideals that he picked up from Abraham Lincoln. He built a level of trust as if you will, like Noah did, like Moses did, like Abraham did, that he could not be deterred. So you have, if you're going to be a doer, it's going to require trust. You have to trust God. See, it's funny how I'm always fascinated by us as human beings. We never check a chair to see if the bolts have been loosened to fall in. We will actually go board a plane that none of us have the ability to fly like a bird and don't know if that plane is going to land appropriately, but we get on like it ain't no big deal. When I look at people, they're very relaxed, pretty calm, and there might be a few that's a little nervous, but for the most part, most people got enough trust to believe that the pilot is going to get them there, when all the time is God is keeping the plane in the air. But we trust that. We trust the words of the world. This is why it tells us that we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because for years we trusted what the world told us. But God has soldiers who went out and began to fight the good fight of faith. They remember in their heart and in their spirit and in their mind God's word so they could share with others the good news. So therefore, it would cause them to change from the old to the new. But they had to put it in their heart. They did not forget who they represented. Those 12 disciples, once the Holy Spirit came upon them, they were able to be able to make sure by the inspiration of God to get the word that we talk about today, because they trusted God's word. Hallelujah. Then being a doer requires perseverance. Being a doer, not a hearer only who does not take action, he will miss out. See, because it requires you to persevere through life challenges and ups and downs. See, Kenya went through hunger, sickness, lack of resources, fear, and yes, even doubt at times. But God ensured that he was faithful to the cause. He did not waver. See, I believe that faith and patience goes hand in hand. See, because if you are patient and you believe in God and you trust God, in due season, you will reap your reward. Why? Because it's important for faithful people find the resources to keep their eyes on the higher calling. See, they don't forget the image that they represent, as I said, which is God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. See, when we hold on to the image of Christ, he will help us to endure the challenges that we will embark upon. The scripture tells us in James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. See, when Paul talked about early on that people have reverted back to being like a child or a babe and required to go back to the basic elementary beginning and teaching, they did not maintain the level of consistency needed to move into their spiritual maturity, so they lack. And so, like my buddy, if you will, when I asked him what the word was about, he can't tell me because his priorities were off. His priorities was not there. And many of us have been there many a times ourselves. So he's not the long ranger. I've been there because we allow too many stimulants to come into our mind and get us off our track. And like I said before, if already in a conversation that I'm speaking now, you'll forget 50% of what I said. And in 8 hours, you're down to 20%. In 24 hours, you forget it all because you didn't take notes. You got nothing to go back to. And if you don't study consistently, you don't be around the saints consistently, you don't go to church consistently, you're not going to get this word. And that puts you in a bad place. See, being a doer requires for you to have expectation. James 1:12 said, "Blessed is the one who persevered under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised those who love him." To those who love him. See, there's some benefits here. We need to take heed to God's word, because it's not just giving, God is not just giving us the law to follow, but more so showing his love for us. For God's word is not like a concert where you go and you hear the music and they jam and you say, you return home and say, "Man, I had a good night. That was great." No, God's word is all about the expression of his love for his children, his love that he was willing to give his only begotten son. His love that will show us through his son that he would bear on his own body our sins, being wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, who would give his life that would give us life even more abundant than we could even imagine, who would forgive all our inequities, heal all our diseases, redeem us from our own destruction, crown us with his loving kindness and tender mercy, and satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. You see, being a doer is about just being a hearer. Being a doer is not just about being a hearer only, because there are too many benefits that you miss out on. But the greatest benefit of all is that God will give us eternal life with our Lord and Savior. See, in John 10:10, it says that my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will be snatched out of my hand. See, I know that the world provides a lot. It provides a lot of stimulants, because we have wants and desires that appease us. But in the end, it's all temporal. It's all temporal. We're here today, we're gone today. I got a text this morning from a friend whose husband her girlfriend's husband had transitioned. And unfortunately, she was from Vietnam, so she never experienced death because she's been here. So this is the first time she ever personally experienced death. There was no reason that she could calculate that why he should die. He wasn't ill, but he transitioned. He transitioned. See, none of us know the day or the hour. So what we should be doing every hour that we get, we should be utilizing it as much as possible. First, to give thanks to God for giving us his breath and his strength every day. Then we should recognize that God loved us so much that his son would take upon his own body our sins and our wrongdoing, our destruction. I was talking to someone, I said, we were talking about Jesus taking on this punishment for us. And there's 39 stripes that he took upon his back, and along with all the other things they're doing. But just imagine, most people, especially in my age, had a whooping or a tanning, if you will, as they take them to the shed. And so that intensity of that whooping was pretty tough. But imagine that someone would take a whip and they would go across your back with metal spikes in it, and they would rip your flesh out. But this is not just he's taking the pain that he would receive or feel for just himself. He's taking on for the people of that day and the people in the future and the people that is going to come. And he's taking all this intensity. The pain is so unbearable that it's beyond our imagination. But God loved us so that he would allow his son to do this. Even Jesus said in God of Gethsemane, "If this cup could pass," because in his flesh he understood the intensity of the pain. Yet we move every day, we act every day like we are a privilege, that God should do whatever we ask him to do like a genie bottle. But we're missing something. We're missing something. See, we want to hear the word as it gives us all the benefits, and there are many. But we need to be doers. We need to be doers, and we need to start it with the first thing that God wants us to do, what he did for us. We need to start it with love. And see, when I think about love, it says love is patient. So we need to be patient with each other, be a doer. He said love is kind. We need to be kind to each other, be a doer. He said love does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in right. Be a doer. It's not jealous. It's not envy. It's not proud. You see, we need to be a doer. Love does not easily get angry. We need to be a doer. And here's what Jesus showed us so much, what love always do. Love always protect. It always trust. It always hope. And it always preserve. See, God is preparing a place for us that we these mansions here don't even matter. Don't even match up. When we get upset about the roads, we won't see that kind of road with holes in it. We won't worry about vehicles. We'll have that glorified body that Jesus got. See, there are many benefits, but you got to be a doer. And what is that doer is about? It's about that person taking action. He don't just hear it, or she don't just hear it. When they do hear it, because he tells us, incline our ears to thy saying. So when we hear his word, this is when we begin to move in a direction to try to execute his word. And sometimes you can't move too quick. Got to be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to anger. See, we got to put, again, listening is an action word. You have to be actively listening. So when you're actively listening, you're engaging. And as you're engaging, you're taking it in. And as you're taking it in, especially if you use your other senses, you now get that word into your spirit, if you will. And as you get it into your spirit and you've got the foundation of love, now you're ready to be able to go and even get more prepared for your assignment. And the Holy Spirit will give you that, because your mind would, and your spirit and your heart will be ready to receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, he will illuminate the scripture. And he will guide you to show you how to take the appropriate action for what God has called you to do. As Paul said, the higher calling. See, in that higher calling, you can't get there unless you're willing to take action. And you just can't be a talker. See, a lot of people talk about what they're going to do, but they don't take action. So what this is all about, it's like the young man, okay, that wanted something so bad. And I know this is more of a worldly concept, but he took off with two books. He took off with the word, and he took off with Abraham Lincoln. So he had something for the spirit, and he had something for the mind. And he was inspired to move forward and take the action. That's what Abraham did. He left it all to follow, not knowing where to go, not knowing what the outcome was going to be, but he trusted God. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust in God and exercise faith, as I like to say, full assurance in the heavens. We have to exercise our faith. And so when the mountain dries up, and they're so big and they just won't get out the way, if we can't move it out the way, we can't go over it, we blow it up and keep on moving. We blow it up with the word that tells us it is written. Because, see, this is all about taking action. This is all about becoming a soldier for Christ, being in his army. And the only way you're going to get the spirit of a soldier, you got to train like a soldier. As we say in the army, we train as we fight and we fight as we train. You got to be ready. And this is going to require for us to, at some point, to decrease in ourselves and increase in Christ. It takes action. If you want to be a doer of the word, you got to study the word. And if you study the word, you get rooted in the word. And once you get rooted in the word, as he talked about in the word, and he tells us now, when you seize the planet on the ground, the birds can't come and take it away. And when it's moved into the rocks, it won't just be in the rocks. It could possibly take root. And then you look up, it will eventually get into that good soil. And when it get into that good soil, it'll take root and it'll produce that harvest that produces 30, 40, 100-fold return. But I always like to say, when you get the harvest, don't have closed hands where they're all holding up for yourself and hoarding. Open your hands up, because open hands can give and receive. That's what you want to do. Because, see, when Jesus came, he didn't come to hoard nothing. He didn't come to even be served. He come to serve us, And that's what we should be, servants of the Lord. As we like to say, be servant leaders. Well, people want to follow Jesus Christ. So as I bring this to a close, I like to say that, again, putting our faith into action is about being a doer and not just to hear the word. And be lenient with yourself. You're not going to get it all at once. As my mentor told me, don't try to eat an elephant all at once. Take it one bite at a time. See, Jesus took 30 years. He took 30 years to prepare for his higher calling. Praise God. He got prepared. He got rooted. And he paced himself. It was preparation. He had the right attitude. He had the right commitment. He executed. And he had an expectation that one day, what we're doing now, we will be receivers of the word. So pace yourself so you can be a doer of the word and be able to fight the good fight of faith. Because I tell you, the benefits are many. More than you can imagine. Yes, the world looks like it provides a lot of bennies, but at the end of the day, they don't even compare in any form or fashion to what our Heavenly Father would give. Now, I like to make sure that nobody goes without the opportunity of being able to accept Christ. So now in Romans 10:9, it tells us, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. Thou can be saved. And so when you get saved, you want to be like what David said, Lord, that you give me long life and teach me your salvation. So you want to learn about his salvation. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, we really need to start taking time to study the words that we use. When we talk about love, when we talk about hope, when we talk about salvation, when we talk about redemption, we need to take time not to get a whole big paragraph or a whole full scripture, just the words. The word itself will help you because it expands itself. And once it expands itself, it's like bubble gum. You can stretch it out. And you can stretch it out and you can do some things with it because you got more to work with. So be willing to be a diligent doer of God's word and get it in your heart. Take that pause for the cause to know his word and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. And again, as I always like to say, don't forget the Kingdom Builder Development, Kingdom Builder Plaza at gmail.com. And we have people who are continuing to be those that iron sharpening iron, helping each other to be able to stay in the race, if you will. Because the word tells the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but him that endured to the end. This people is a marathon. It's about staying in the race and encourage somebody else. Talk to someone else. Spend time with someone else. I get that we got a worldly, global view of things, but sometimes you need to talk to the person sitting right next to you. Whether it's at work, whether it's in your house, whether it's your family, call people you ain't called for. Because I tell my son, it's not what they do, it's what you do. See, because maybe they're waiting on you. Maybe by their personality, they're like Timothy, maybe they're a little timid. Or maybe they're just not people that's that talkative. But if you call them, that might be the moment they have some need to hear somebody's voice who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who loves the Lord, and the biggest thing about it, they got love in their heart. So share some of that love. Be a doer and not a hearer only. Again, I'm your host, Brother Dave, and I thank you for coming to the show, Spirit of a Soldier. God bless you. Remember, stay up, look up, and never give up on God. Have a good evening.
You're bigger than the things, oh, that could tear me apart. You're bigger than the universe. You're bigger than the sun and the stars. You're bigger than the things. Oh my, oh my, that could tear me apart. Ha ha.